The Cultural Council's mission is to nurture, promote, and support a healthy, diverse, and inclusive cultural sector so that the arts and culture are a part of everyday life for everyone. We invite listeners to discover Florida's cultural capital online at palmbeachesculture.com. All right, everybody. Hello, and welcome back to the Arty Gras podcast, where we dive into all things arts and culture of Palm Beach County. My name is Sarah LaPierre. I'm your host, and I'm really excited for our guest today to be here, Sandra Raffaelli. And she's just a fabulous human, and we're going to talk about so many things, the entrepreneurial side of her, the creative side of her, what she does for the community here. So we're going to get into it. Sandra, welcome.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm so glad that we get to connect through art and colors. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. So we're going to dive right into the background. Okay. We want to share some of your story. So you've worn many hats, many hats, behavior technician, life coach, dance facilitator, mother, artist. How did all of these experiences lead you to forming Azul?
So it's very interesting. Maybe you didn't know this, but I went to school for finance in Colombia. And when I was just having this crisis and I didn't know what to do with my life, and I started asking for purpose. And the first that came to my life was to work in the school district for special education classrooms. And from that, all this curiosity about exploring myself through learning different practices, it started like leading me to like, how then can I offer this self-discovery to other people? Because like, once you get to self-discover yourself, you feel empowered, and then you want other people to feel empowered too. So basically I started grabbing like tools and getting my toolbox, and I'm like, now I'm ready to share and how I'm going to share this. So I decided to start a nonprofit that will help people to experience empowerment the same way that I was experiencing it.
That's incredible. I love that. And it's a contagious energy, right? Like you said, once you have it, you kind of can't help but share it. And you want to surround yourself with people who are getting that experience and going through those different stages of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a beautiful exchange of energy that happens. So I guess, what was the moment when you knew you had, you know, to form the version that we see today of Azul?
I want to tell you like a story, because it's very magical. So I was sharing with you, like, I went to school for finance, and then I started asking for what my purpose was. I tried many different routes, and then I get into special education. And then I felt that there were so many protocols that were like limiting the kind of impact that I wanted to have in the community. So then I realized that I wanted to take the next step. So I said, I'm going to start a nonprofit, but how, where, blah, blah, blah. So then I decided that it was going to be easier for me to start in Colombia, which is like my land, like language and probably like protocols. I thought they were going to be easier. And so I was living in Chicago. I sold everything. And so the moment was when in the school district, they were cutting budget. And they said, we're going to be letting go of people. And I thought like, please let it be me. Because I thought that that was going to be the next step, and it happened, and they let me off, and then I was able to get my savings and sell everything in Chicago, and then I moved to Colombia. I started the nonprofit, and the first like 2 months after we started it, I got offer to write grant to support artistic rights of adults with disabilities. Well, which will probably can share about that later, but that was the moment where like, okay, then art is part of it, adults with disabilities and the need of empowering people. So,
Okay. So that's how the blend, I didn't know where the blend started of those things. So that's really fascinating. Yeah. And I love that you had that clarity for yourself that it's like, oh, please let it be me that they that's on their list to let go, because you knew you wanted to get into something else and grow in a different direction.
Yeah.
That's great when you get to have that excitement about the transition versus the just fear or just the upheaval, right? You actually had something that, you know, you were ready to grow into. That's really cool. So growing up in Colombia and later, like you said, working in Chicago, how did those places with very specific identities shape your perspective on art?
Yeah. So for me, it's a matter of be observant and mindful of my own path. Growing up, my parents had clothing retail stores, and I grew up among clothes and textile, and I loved being 10 years old, like doing inventory of like all the like huge rolls of textile, like so amazing. And so that was like when I was growing up. And then when I was working for the school district in Chicago, I used to buy secondhand clothes. And I always like to make my like look different. Yeah. So I'll just like redesign my own clothing without even like knowing that was a thing. And so I just started doing that. And then when I moved to Colombia, and then this opportunity for a grant comes up. Initially, it started as empowering the adults with disabilities through independent life skills and empowering the families. And then when this grant opportunity comes up, when my son actually says, "Mom, but you go to night every night, you go to bed watching fashion shows. Why don't you just like gather all that and put it into like your purpose?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh, yes!" So, we started getting some, like, some brainstorming. Mm-hmm. I got some friends and we put together a proposal. And that was the first pilot of Follow the Thread, which I'll tell you later. Wow. And from that, like, I got to experience people like actually blooming through art. Mm. So observance and following and like mindfulness, I think that was the path.
That's wonderful. And to know that fashion's kind of always been a part of your life through your family, that's really cool too.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing.
Definitely. So, okay. You know, I know that Azul empowers adults with disabilities, as you said, through the fashion, through design. And I would love for you to share maybe just one of the stories that really stands out to you that you've seen a lot of impact, whether it was in an individual's life or in a family or a group.
Yeah. I think that I tear up of happiness quite a lot in the classroom and when I'm around them. And the last wonderful story that we had a paper. She wrote her story and dropped it on my desk a couple of weeks ago. It's this woman who had brain fatigue. Mm. And this happened in an accident that she had in a pool. And she lost many faculties for so long, and she started coming back, but faculties such as eating, walking, talking, fine motor, like she lost all the motor skills. And then she started coming back, and we met last year, and then she came to our program, Follow the Thread, which is a 5-month program. And I didn't know all this past story. Mm. And then when she came, she didn't share much of it. And then at the end of the program, she shared that mobility. She started coming first in a wheelchair, and then she got out of the program walking. She couldn't eat around people because of like that would give her like brain fatigue. Mm. And she had to put so much attention in the way that she had to eat, so she couldn't eat with other people. Well, now she's eating with all our creatives. She's walking. She's participating in activities, which she was not coming out. She was so isolated. And she got to hand sew again, which she had lost that faculty. And so to be able to see somebody like coming out of the shell believing in herself to be able to accomplish now she has her brand.
That's amazing. That's the last one. And you know, to see that kind of progression in a short amount of time too. Not that, you know, time has to be the marker of the success of it, but just to be able to witness it. And for, you know, classmates and other members of, you know, staff to be able to see that as well. That's awesome. That's really exciting.
Right. And then it, like, to see how she, like, and many of them come to our class with like fear, mm-hmm. like fearful that they're not going to do a good job. And then they finish the class and it's just like, this like shining all around.
You know, proud. That just, that jogs a little memory of one time when you had, an exhibit, I'll call it, at the Peach, right? You were there as a part of an event. I think it was with the Palm Beach Symphony.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if it was from Follow the Thread or another program, but some of your students, I'll call them, is that right? Students?
We call them creatives.
Creatives. Some of your creatives were there and they had created and, you know, embellished instruments.
Right.
And I just remember there was just the best energy and pride in your work as an artist that I've ever seen. And I thought, oh man, that is it, to be this, you know, happy and like, yes, I'm an artist and this is my work and I love it and I'm sharing it with you, was just, was wonderful.
Right.
To experience.
To have a story to tell behind something that you can do.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Very empowering. Yeah. It was wonderful. And the work, I ended up buying a flute.
I know. I remember. Yeah.
I loved it. My mom is a flute player. So I was like, oh, this is lovely. I'll display this. It's, you know, something that I was reading off your website. This is impacted, or maybe it was from an interview that I saw, has impacted over 600 individuals with your programming, which is a lot. That's a lot of people. Can you tell us about some of the programs that you offer?
Yes. So our programs are designed to walk the person through to connect with their artistic purpose. So when somebody ages out of high school and has a disability, usually the possibilities are to occupy their time. Mm-hmm. And I call it like life shopping. When you don't know what to do, you don't know what possibilities are out there, you need to go life shopping, which means like learn about different opportunities, different possibilities, and then you can start like finding your path.
Yeah.
So our first program is called Active Art, which is a series of field trips that take place the last Friday of the month. And our creatives, we take a group of 10 to 15 creatives to connect with local artists. So we visited your studio, we visited the Peach and all the artists. We visit galleries, museums. And our idea is that our creatives get to learn about the different art mediums and how people make a living through becoming an artist. So then they have an idea, okay, this is my window shopping and this is what I like, right? Right after that, we offer our Art Abilities program, which is like short sessions where they get to experience hands-on different art mediums.
Okay, so they're creating at that point.
Right, and this is just 2 hours, and they might say like, yeah, I don't like to get dirty, or I prefer to dance, or I prefer to act. So they get to experience in their own body, how is it like each art medium. And if they like fashion, so then we offer our fashionable programs. If they happen to like acting or singing, then we'll connect them with any other local artists that will be willing to teach and connect our creatives with an artistic purpose. And our specialty is fashion, sustainable fashion. And we have our fashionable programs, which we offer in twofold. One is bringing our fashionable one-on-one program to different nonprofit organizations that serve adults with disabilities, such as the Arc of Palm Beach County, the Arc of the Glaze, the Half Center. We have like partnerships with probably like 5 nonprofits now. And the Follow the Thread, that is a 5-month program. It's basically like a post-secondary program specialized in fashion, where a person with disability or unique abilities and their caregiver come and both learn actively 5 sustainable fashion design techniques, and they create their own brand. They create their own like collection, name, like slogans, and we provide them with everything that they need to run their business, such as like racks, mannequins, business cards, catalogs, like absolutely everything. And right after that, we host two annual events where they, it's like fashion festivals, pop-ups where they sell their garments to the community. And we also partner with corporate organizations. So the corporate organizations can hire our designers to create unique items as their corporate given or corporate gifting to their clients.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I love that. So I know that, you know, when this episode gets released, that there's going to be an event shortly coming up afterwards in April. Do you want to tell us about what that specific one is?
Yes. On April 9th, we're going to be hosting our second annual fun and fundraiser event. It's called Azul Nights. So this event has been created for the community to connect with the different types of art. So we talk about art mediums, but they're also like different types of art. So we can say like rural art, urban arts. And then from that, like we can go in time, like with different types of arts, right? So this year we're going to be learning about urban arts, and is on April 9th, and is going to be, I'm going to take my glasses just so I can make sure I know this.
But, yeah, that you've got all the details.
Right, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., and is at the Northwood Art and Music Warehouse.
Fantastic.
So people will get to come and connect with, we are all about supporting local art collectives, so they're going to be checking the urban art that we have over there. And there's going to be food, and VIP tickets will get to redesign their own hat. And we'll have like some surprises.
I love it. I love it. Good. Good. So I hope people can check that out. And that's great to be able to partner with locations like that, because then it's an opportunity for, you know, their artists and, you know, regular players that are part of that space to expand to a new audience. And then, you know, the people who are attending the event maybe get introduced to that location for the first time. So I love to see collaborations like that, that, you know, you just get more and more community impact by introducing everybody to each other and being a connector.
Right. We also are so big in like a two-way like experiences. So like you come and have fun, and also like by us offering people to learn about different art, different artists, and educating is important too. So people just like walk away by like, oh, I learned something new. You know, I was part of something different or something real cool today.
Yeah. I love it. Now, I know that some of the designers, I think maybe in that kind of, you know, in the fashion program, they get to have sort of a project runway moment, right? Like what is that moment like for them?
So, as a Azul Nights, well, this time we'll have like a full staging, like kind of like set up where they get to talk about themselves and their experience, which is different when they get to model. So there's like two ways. One is when you actually get to socialize and to share the story, because they're so eager to tell you and talk about, talk your ear about like what they can do. Yeah. And when we have other like fashion shows that this take place in collaboration with other nonprofits, they get to actually like model. And it's a totally different way to relate and to connect with the community, right? One is just through the party, and the other one is like through the like, now I'm a human being that I can tell you a story and let me tell you about it. Yeah. So that's what is going to happen that day.
I love that. Yeah, and I know the, you know, you mentioned the sustainable fashion. That's a big part of the program, right? How do collaborations with entities like Resource Depot, or where does that sustainability come in for you in the community?
Right. So in the past, Resource Depot is like, we're really close. We call it like, I call them like the sibling fellow nonprofits.
Love it.
Well, we get a lot of like supplies from them. We had also collaborated as they had commissioned our designers to design like special tote bags for their events.
Yes.
We also, they're so kind to donate clothes to our designers in the same way has happened with Dress for Success. And we had hosted clothing drives around Palm Beach County where like people actually start like getting their, you know, their thoughts going about like, okay, there's this clothes can have a purpose. I don't have to throw them out.
Right.
And when you donate them to Goodwill, you're doing good too. And when you donate them to somebody and then you get curious about, let me see what they did with mm-hmm. my clothes. Mm-hmm. It's just a full circle and it creates curiosity. So it's just like people are creating memories, creating stories when we partner.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great because like you said, it's one thing, it's good to donate to a facility that's going to get some things getting reused, hopefully, right? There's another extension of its same use. But I think when you can share with people that there's additions to that use and it can go broader or can go beyond what you thought or what it was initially intentioned for, you know, whether it was a plain garment that got turned into something else like a bag or it got embellished, painted on, stitched on, something like that, where they get to see a change. That's another, you know, kind of just... like you said, a curiosity that gets piqued.
Right.
That hopefully keeps things kind of going in the direction of sustainability and more interest in that and the potentials that, you know, there's a lot of things that people have that they forget about could be upcycled, side cycled, you know.
We have people who have said like, the jacket looks good. I donated. I want it back. Like I should buy it back.
Oh my God. I love that.
It's so nice.
that was really fun.
It just creates also like, it gives people like, oh, we can do something with clothing instead of like throwing away and putting it in the landfill. Cause this, you know, like,
cause that's a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of clothes.
A lot of it.
The land.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I've got more questions that we're going to get into. We're going to take just a teeny little break and have a word from our sponsors right now. We are so thankful for the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County. So we'll have a word from them and then we'll be right back.
Those dinner reservations and tea times will have to wait because there's an art-filled paradise beyond these beaches. A mecca of masterpieces, spectacular sights by day and night. A cultural capital that's calling your name. See so much more than you came for in the Palm Beaches.
We're talking with Dr. Luis Pena, a lung specialist from TGH's Pulmonary Care and Sleep Institute. Doc, I want to talk about COPD. I've heard the term, but I really don't know what it is. So tell me about it.
COPD is a chronic obstruction of a person's airways. Usually it's caused by cigarette smoking, but there are other conditions that can cause it, like environmental exposure to contamination or chronic asthma, sometimes chronic infections or genetic disorders.
How do you know you have it?
People with COPD have a chronic cough, sputum production, or frequent bouts of bronchitis. So that's when you should go to your doctor and we can do pulmonary function testing. We can assess the exact lung function and determine if you truly have or don't have COPD.
Can it be treated?
It can be treated. We use nebulized drugs, inhaled drugs, and lately there are medications that can be injected, like dupilumab, which can be injected once a month. It can decrease the inflammation of people's airways.
All right, that was great, Doc. Thank you so much. And that was your Medical Minute brought to you by your friends at TGH.
All right. So, okay. You have been an advocate for artistic rights for people with disabilities. What is a misconception that you would like to maybe clear up?
Yeah. So sometimes what happens out there is that the community and we can project on ourselves our fear of rejection or like making mistakes. So what it happens is like when people see something or somebody with disabilities or with unique abilities working in a project, there's a tendency to say like, oh, that's great. Oh, that's awesome. And you know what? When we don't provide honest feedback, we're taking away the right of improving and growing and getting better. So my invitation is to offer like honest, constructive feedback and give that person the opportunity to keep on growing and to keep on polishing their techniques so they can keep on like getting better.
Yeah.
Instead of like for pity or for fear to just hurt somebody's feelings, not say anything about what they're doing.
No, I think that's, I completely agree. And even on a, you know, I have thankfully wonderful relationships with my family, friends, you know, and I, there's times where I want feedback, right? Where you specifically ask, what do you think of this? And the goal is not to be placated by like, oh, great job. Because that does nothing for you. Like you said, the experience to want, like, I want to grow, I want to deepen this thing that I've started to cultivate. Tell me the truth. You know, and there's, of course, there's ways to give somebody feedback that's constructive and positive without just neutralizing it into there's no growth here.
Help them grow and reach their potential. And sometimes we need to be pushed.
And that can be like, you know, a good little, again, a little zap of energy that happens when you get somebody constructively criticizing something or saying, well, what about this? Or did you think of this way? Or there's another method that I know that maybe you could try and see what you think of. You never know what that little insight might spark and what direction, you know, it might not be followed exactly, but it might take them in a different direction that they get to grow into.
Encourage the person to exploration, instead of like, just like, oh, that's so good. And then that's the end. That's it. So exploration.
That curiosity keeps getting sparked. That's important for all of us. All right. So before I get to my next question, I'm wearing a button.
I'm wearing one
and
too.
You're wearing a button. Tell us about the buttons.
Buttons for change. So the button was really changed the history of fashion. You know, people used to wrap themselves to just keep their clothes on, and something really small, like, was so, like, I think it's one of the most valuable, like, discoveries in humanity, the button. And we use the button as a symbol that small things make a big change. So we give this away every single time we have an event, and people now remember that adults with disabilities can be remembered by their talents in fashion. And you see, they don't even have like a brand. It's not like branded, it's just a button, but people remember. I tell always, I ask people who takes a button, please tell the story that like adults with disabilities can succeed in sustainable fashion design, because that was another of like challenges that I went through at the beginning of starting the nonprofit. It's like, what, fashion and adults with disabilities? That's, Sandra, you're crazy. This is just like young woman, Colombian here trying to just tell us that this is going to work. I'm like, yes, just watch. And so people tell the story about the talents in our community with disabilities, and people now remember. I have some people telling me like, oh, you're the lady with the button.
The
I'm like,
buttons.
No, I'm not the lady with the button. I'm the lady helping people.
That's great. I thank you for bringing this today. I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm gonna wear it and tell people the story. You took a leap of faith in 2018, if you want to call it that, or whatever you want to call it, when you went to do this and decided to do it full time. What was that transition like? Was it an immediate jump from one to the next, or was it a slow build to doing this full time?
I was working offering supportive services, employment supportive services to adults with disabilities. And again, I had the blessing to get laid off from that position. And I got some benefits of like unemployment, and I got another like couple jobs that I had, side jobs. And I decided like, this is the time for me to be with Azul here in the United States. And yeah, so there was like a transition, but I was so glad that to be able to dedicate, to put in time on the mission, because it was a little bit like, it was asleep for a little bit, like from Colombia. In Colombia, we did super good. Then I got a full-time job, and then that was asleep. I wasn't working in Azul. And now I had the opportunity, I had the time to put into the mission. And just like, it's my passion. So I needed to do it.
I appreciate hearing that timeline, honestly, because I think a lot of people might have the mindset of once you start something, you have to keep going with it. You have to be all in. You have to be 100%. And if you stop, it's going to go away, or you're not going to be able to return to it. So I appreciate hearing a journey that has maybe a little bit of ebb and flow to it. And whether that's because a change of locations, right, or a change of life, things can have some seasons, but they can still have power behind them that you can come back to and kind of, you know, reinvigorate life into this thing that you started. I'd like to hear that it's just not always a direct path.
Yeah. I think that what it really also helped me is that it stopped, and I also had always my goal, like I will only work for people or for individuals with disabilities. So that being said, offering support in the home setting or with another company, like that was my mission. And that helped me also to stay focused.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. I'd love to talk about some of the, you know, community involvement that you get into. What do you think is best about working in the arts and culture sector in Palm Beach County specifically?
I love this question when I read about it, because when I moved to West Palm Beach like 8 years ago, almost 9 years ago now, I remember the community. It was so hard to connect. I thought there was not a community, and I have experienced the growth. I have seen the growth in Palm Beach County, the growth in diversity, the growth in acceptance, the growth in more people gathering and coming together and connecting. I felt that when I came, I was like alone. And like, how did I connect? How did I find my community? And, you know, just like connecting with people at the beach, and then one thing leads to another, and the symphony, the Kravis Center, like people start like opening. And I think like our community has grown, and it's been beautiful to see mm-hmm. the bloom of it, because I felt like at the beginning, like 8 years ago, it was kind of like everybody was so quiet, or maybe now many people were here. I don't know.
I think some of both, right? Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, I grew up in Palm Beach Gardens. I lived in West Palm Beach for a decade, and a lot changed in that decade, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. definitely more, you know, there was absolutely an arts community here, but I don't know that it was as connected or as, you know, present with each other in the way that I see now. Right. It's so, you know, just fulfilling might not be the right word, but there's something that's, you know, that's wonderful to see when you know, oh, you know this person, great. Well, let me connect you with you. You know, it's just, there's a lot more opportunity for people that way, whether you're an artist who's looking for spaces to show your work, or you're somebody who's, you know, offering programming and classes and you're looking for a location to host a workshop. Right. There's a lot more connection that's moving around that is, yeah.
It has been such a, like a genuine fellowship that it has been mm-hmm. growing, and we're all doing our own thing, right? Running, but it's still like thinking how we can just like connect, how we can just like, there's always the fellow like artist, like in mind, like, oh, let me connect you. Let me help you here. Like, that's so nice. It's like, it's genuine.
It is. When somebody, nothing I love more than when somebody asks me for something, and if I can't provide it myself,
right,
I got the great person for you, right? Like if this is not what my talent and skill set is great for, then I know somebody who's great for you.
Right.
And I always get to.
And you did it with us too. Remember with that, the Manatee
Lagoon? Oh, with Manatee Lagoon. Yes, absolutely. That was a moment where I was like, I got it, you know?
Right. And that was so great. That exhibition was amazing.
Yeah. I didn't get to go to the event, the opening event that you had for that, but I did see the exhibit. I saw the installation after the fact while it was still up, and it was really exciting to see. They've got, you know, it's a beautiful building there. Right. They get a lot of foot traffic, and I thought the pieces were wonderful. I mean, they were a lot larger scale than I expected. Those were really exciting. I thought it was the perfect spot for that. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Well, I hope more of it comes up. I hope I get to, you know, make that connection again continuously where I say, you know.
Well, you're doing it right now also, so yay.
My favorite thing. Okay, so I ask this question of every guest who comes on the show, mm-hmm. and it's kind of one of those things where I just love to know what people's favorite hidden gems or not hidden gems to visit are in the area. So if there's one, you can give me two if you want, but one, if there's one like place or event that's related to arts and culture in Palm Beach County that you think everybody like living here or visiting here has to experience, what would that one thing be?
Oh, well, our family, our love Peach, like, has been so great. And we just discovered last year the Northwest Art and Gallery too, mm-hmm. Which I think that they have a little bit of a different vibe because they work mostly like towards the evening.
Yes.
And it's more like towards like a party or an event, which is great. And I really love the fact that the Peach is open like during the daytime and people get to explore different studios. And I think that Craig was doing like a few weeks ago, stand-up comedy now, which is amazing because you know how we don't have anymore the improv.
Downtown, the improv isn't there anymore. Yeah. Right. So there was a gap
there was a hole
because of that. I mean, you know, for people who don't know, the Peach is it's a it's our heart. It's right. A multi-artist studio space. It's a converted warehouse that got turned into 6 independent artist studios, working artist studios, where you can go and you can explore the studios. You can engage with the artist. You're, you know, basically seeing behind the curtain, which is always exciting because it's different than just a gallery setting.
Right.
Where you have, you know, kind of a finished, polished exhibit and maybe a person who's representing an artist or a salesperson, you're there with the artist and you're seeing what their process is like. And yeah, there's multiple
connection. It's a great space for connection.
Yeah. And the event space too, being able to host, you know, like we did the event with you in the symphony and seeing these different entities in the community kind of come out and get to play at the Peach is great.
Making art accessible to all, you know, just like, because like you said, the gallery can be like something up there for some type of people, but mm-hmm. then we're like, oh, I can go see art and be myself and be comfortable and connect with the artist at a personal level. That adds so much value.
Yeah. So I think the comedy, I'm pretty sure that's still, you know, people can always check on the Peach social media and the website, but the comedy is a weekly.
It's a weekly now.
Yeah, it's a weekly.
Oh, I can't wait to go.
So yeah, if you ever want to, they have an open mics, like a little section of open mic too. So
I'm not that funny, but
you can get up there. You can probably a few jokes to get up there. So I read this nickname that you have for yourself.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
The Love Bandit. And I want to know more about that. Where did that come from? What does it mean to be a Love Bandit? Gosh.
When I was living in Chicago, my girlfriend and I, we found ourselves going to the bars and like just been like working and going to the bar and hanging out, but nothing like substantial. Mm-hmm. So we found this, I don't remember the website, but it's like a website that creates post-it notes that had inspiring notes. And then we said like, oh my gosh, let's create post-it notes and go around town and just leave them in places. So, and I used to ride my bike as a way to transportation. So it'll be both of us in our bikes. And instead of going to the bar to drink, we just go bar hopping like on a Friday night. And we had a bunch of post-its and we just go in the bathroom, in the bar bathrooms and I just like leave the post-its. We go to the bus stops and leave them there at restaurants and just kind of hide them. And then we thought they were like so cool because we're a love band. It's just leaving like love messages around town. And that's how we spend our Friday night.
I love it though.
Yeah.
That's really fun.
Yeah. So that's just like, and we were all like secrecy, you know, you get it walked in and not order anything. So it's going to look bad, but it was just going to pretend. So just like we we believe they were bandits. We believe they were doing something bad.
Right, because like, you're kind of right, on the sly. Right, you're right. Not really. So, so it wasn't something where you were trying to spark a conversation in the moment necessarily. You were kind of like trying to post it there and
right,
get out.
Right, right, right. Because we had so many places to go. And that,
yeah, you
and
had the, to hit up all the right. spots. You had a busy night. That was a busy Friday
right,
night.
Right.
Yeah. Man, that's great.
Yeah.
There's a quote that you have, I think it's on your website, that there are no mistakes, only wonderful serendipities.
Yes.
What is it about that quote that really, you know, that you see in your life coming up?
Goodness. I think that it's so interesting in my life and as well, like everything has been a beautiful serendipity, just like getting laid off of a job, you know, and then ended up starting a nonprofit. Just as it's raining, it's pouring, and we have a fashion show outside. And then in 1 hour, I gathered our team and I said, okay, we have this, all these supplies that I have extra, and we're going to set up a new stage for the fashion show. And to see the videos and to see the pictures, that they come out even better than I expected. Mm. Even in the clothing, when our designers are working on a garment, so I tell them, like, this is painted, but I call it staining, because they get intimidated by the word painting. They think that they need to do something like really perfect, right? And then I said, no, we're going to have a bunch of stains in there. And they, out of a mistake, they built up a whole like beautiful piece. So it's been serendipity all over all the time. Something else that is one of my mantras is everything is better than I can imagine. So something I see that something is coming not in the way that I expected, and it always comes back really good. We had another fashion festival that was 2 years ago at City Place, and it was pouring again, pouring. And because of it, they moved us inside, which was like the location that they gave us is like when you come downstairs from the parking, the garage. And because we were there, everyone who came to City Place that night got to see our fashion fest. So great that it rained that day. Mm-hmm. Because it just worked out for our designers to be like recognized and seen by many other people that probably wouldn't
right, see that us. They just might have, you know, there's many avenues that you can take to get in and out of those areas, but that is the main vein. So for them to be unmissable that way.
Right. Yeah. So so many stories. Serendipity is like, every day and every moment we experience serendipity at Azul.
Do you think serendipity is kind of like a muscle in a way, where the more you see something as this might have I don't know where this is going, but it might have a positive outcome, or I'm going to choose to think that there's going to be a positive outcome from this shift, you know, that your brain sort of, you train yourself.
Right. It's a mindset that you start like, you program yourself in this mindset, and life is much easier with that way. Because something that I actually, nothing is really that bad. Everything is what it's supposed to be, and it's working out for us, I believe. And I have experienced it in so many ways that now it's a belief, it's part of my program, it's part of my life.
Yeah, that it gets to be this, you know, maybe it starts off as a small belief and then that belief keeps getting reiterated to you. Right. That you see the positive again, you're training the brain, you're programming, and then it just becomes this wonderful foundation that you have really firmly set yourself on that, you know, when shifts come, things change, things go unexpectedly.
Right. Something good is coming out of this. Like, you're right. Like now I'm like something happens. People might say like, oh my gosh, it's terrible. I'm like, I'm sure this is going to be okay. It's just part of it. Just pushing me to grow.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So important. So helpful. It is really helpful to have that, you know?
Yeah.
Rain, especially in South Florida, is one of those things that's going to come up from time to time. So it's good to be able to just shift from it. Before we end the episode, which I've had so much fun talking to you, I could talk to you for another hour and I'm sure there's things that we could get to. And if there's anything else that you wanted to share about, you know, if please interject, but I do always love to ask, if you want to leave any advice for somebody who might be listening, who is potentially either thinking about wanting to start their own nonprofit and kind of start that journey or get into maybe more fashion related specifically or upcycled sustainability, if there's any advice that you'd like to impart.
Yeah. Faith and determination has been key on this process. There might be, the more that I hear a no, the closer I get to a yes. So it can be discouraging at the beginning. It's starting something from the bottom. I didn't know anybody in West Palm Beach. I didn't have a community here. All what I had is a heart full of like passion and trust and faith. And it's okay. There's a process, the timeline. We talk about the timeline, which is like keep watering the plant. The biggest advice that I have is every day I would do something for us all. That could be a conversation, that can be a quote, that can be watching a fashion show, that can be watching a documentary. But every day I was consciously watering that plant, and knowing that I wasn't getting paid at the beginning, I knew that it was growing. I knew that I was already getting paid in the future. Yeah.
That there'd be fruit from that plant eventually.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes. So anything that is in your heart, if you really are passionate about it, you just got to water it, love it. What is that saying that they say where energy goes, energy flows, something like
sure,
that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
so exactly. It's just like keeping staying on track.
I love it. That's beautiful advice. It's really excellent.
Yeah.
I thank you so much for being here with me today and having a conversation, sitting down with me. I'm always excited to see and share more of Azul. So it's a pleasure to share the story and, you know, with my button, I'll keep doing more of that.
Thank you.
I would love for just to ask the final question of where can people connect with you if they want to find out more about your work, more about Azul, more about the events that are coming up, where are the best places for them to reach?
We're in all social media platforms like YouTube, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and it's Azul Fashion Art Design. Our website is the same. www.azulfashionartdesign. And if you happen to forget, just type in Azul and fashion and we'll come up on Google because we have a lot of content there.
Nice. Perfect. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. So I'm glad, you know, people have an opportunity to connect coming up in April where they can come to an event. So definitely check out the Azul website, the Azul social, and, come see some of the urban art that's being showcased this year and learn more about it. I thank you again for being here. And a big thank you as always to our viewers and our listeners. We couldn't do this without you. Obviously, we appreciate you tuning in. If you have any questions, you want to drop us a comment, let us know. We're always happy to hear from you. And of course, a huge thank you to our sponsor, the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County. We appreciate you. And I will see you next time on the Artie Graw podcast.